Honorable members, esteemed ladies and gentlemen, good morning. As we begin this meeting, the announcement of the final 23 has just been announced, and the team is getting ready. And the coach promises us that the team is ready. And on being asked why he chose the easy opponents in preparation, he answered by saying that France is practicing against Gambia, and Brazil is practicing against plays against Zimbabwe. And that is the trend, and there's nothing wrong with that. He wanted to see whether we're just really satisfied. But he says that the real test now will be against Denmark. There he'll field that 23, and there'll be no chances. That is a game that is not experimental. If we are beaten, he won't have any excuse. So let us hope that we are going to have a very, very good match. And perhaps I think we've got to, as national leaders, we've got to thank people from all walks of life for the support they have given to 2010. You go to Cape Town, you see flags, you see people in colors. You go to Devon, it's the same thing. Pietermaritzburg is the same thing. Pongola, it was the same thing in the bushes there next to Swaziland. So I was in Mandeni, it was the same thing. So the spirit is there. And so we are just waiting for the game. And thanks for everyone for being constructive in as far as the World Cup has been concerned. Everyone supports it. No one says anything that is not contributing towards supporting the team. And we are maturing as a country. You look at the Blue Bulls playing against Stormers in Soweto. We are growing as a nation. It shows maturity. And let us keep it up. Let us not look back. Let us look forward now to one country. Honorable Kronborg, were you there in Soweto?
I wasn't here.
Okay.
I'm going to be 11 World Cup games.
Okay, 11.
Did I make the 23?
No, not yet, but you've got a chance if somebody gets hurt.
You'll be on the bench.
Your chances are as good as Makati, don't worry. Okay.
Chairperson, did you promise to bring the World Cup?
Yeah. It's very like Lamin. Once you have the final 32 in the world, anyone can take it, honestly speaking. It's just the spirit. Now, you see, we do not have any big names. Our only big name is Pinar.
Is Makati dropped?
Yeah, he was dropped. But I think it was because of fitness, more than any other thing. He didn't make it. Let our game begin as well.
Big Benny drop.
Yeah, you've got to be fit, for any match, really, really, really. He was taking a chance, because even if he was on the bench for Blackburn, he was supposed to be jogging or doing something to keep fit. You can't just say he chose that he is great talent that did not struggle to be where he is. You see, that is the problem. Even with geniuses, you see, everything becomes easy as you go to the top. Then when now you've got to deliver, you can't deliver because you are not used to working hard. So let us start. This is our agenda.
Just one more interruption. I haven't seen the flags in the rural area. Emakhaya, elalini, they don't know. Some of them still don't know about the World Cup.
Go and put them there.
Chairperson, if you could rush resources.
You know what I see in the country, even garages, they put their own flags. It's individuals, the spirit. Government has done its part. I mean, it has got to be the nation now that has got to be entrepreneurial. And people are selling flags for different countries, but I don't see a lot of South Africans selling flags in the streets.
At the traffic lights, what I read from one of the papers was that this World Cup, at the aftermath, will be the arresting of people who are facing litigation, because a lot of people apparently don't know that they've got to obtain licenses to sell the FIFA paraphernalia. So they just stand on the streets and sell and so on, and they go around selling 20 FIFA World Cup and so on, and some of them have actually been nabbed for it. And also on the streets, the hawkers, you tell them that, why are you not having, you ask, why are you not having the FIFA World Cup things to sell? They say, no, the municipality arrests us.
Yeah, if you sell Zakumi and something that has got the FIFA brand name, you are in trouble.
But if you are selling
the Brazilian flag, South African flag, this flag, I don't think you have a problem.
The thing is, they don't know, Chairperson, and the municipalities also arrest them just because they see a World Cup thing or emblem or whatever. They arrest them.
I think Chairperson, they are team number one on the program.
let us go straight to number one now.
Sorry, comrade.
Yeah, brands are brands. They've got to be protected. okay, let us number one. Then number two is draft reports. I hope that you've read all of them. Number three, a consideration of a draft minutes for its closure. So item one, that is our program. But before I start, we have received, why we are having this agenda is because we have received a letter from the Director General of Arts and Culture. We're supposed to have a presentation by Arts and Culture. But he says that the Department of Arts and Culture respects the work and authority of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. However, I have other engagement planned for the set date with my minister and other DEC stakeholders. I kindly therefore request that the requested briefing be shifted to another date to ensure that a proper and informed briefing can be made to the Portfolio Committee. I would like to take this opportunity to assure you of my highest regard. Please accept my most sincere apology. Kind regards, Temba P. Wagashe, 27th of May. Once accepting this apology, I have a problem with the date. It should not be as late as it is. We have written to the department to that effect. But we hope that we are going to have a better presentation later during the year. And as a result, we have once more put it in the program. I have received some input from Honorable Shin with regard to heritage sites for purposes of having one information source. We have sent it to the researcher as well. So as we are looking at the program, feel free if you think that perhaps we've got other things to look at, or perhaps to look at those things, but we are having a program, and we are going to go around our country a lot with the chairperson of chairpersons agreeing. The problem I have with the administration of parliament is that we submit a program, it gets approved, and then when we are about to go for a trip, the trip is not approved. So they approve and disapprove what they approved. That is really, really questionable. But we are going to question it at the chairperson's meeting. But I just wanted to indicate that even a number of meetings have been approved, but when it comes to nearer to the date, or when they got to give us the money, they say no, it is not approved. So, and then this does not only occur to this committee, it happens to other committees as well. So as a result, we were surprised when the chairperson of chairpersons said that parliament committees do not use their funds.
Mm-mm.
Because we wanted to go overseas, like to Germany, we wanted to go to other countries, we wanted to go around the country, KwaZulu-Natal, the Northern Cape, Limpopo, and so forth, Mpumalanga, and we were denied on the grounds that there were no funds. So all of a sudden now, we were confronted with the situation where the chairperson of chairperson said we did not use our funds. So that as it may, let us look at the program. The program is from July. On the 20th of July, we plan having cultural and heritage a seminar on cultural and heritage tourism as a means of economic development for rural communities, to assist and make cultural heritage and cultural tourism to contribute to inclusive economic growth and sustainable livelihoods. And it is going to be at Townhouse Hotel. Then, on the 21st of July, Committee 5-Year Strategic Planning Session. Here, when we go to this place, we've got to look first at the strategic plan of the department. And then our strategic plan should respond to that plan, because we are doing oversight there. They are implementers, and then see how we relate to that. But it would not serve any much purpose if we did not read that strategic plan. Then that one will be on the 21st and 22nd of July. The venue has not been confirmed. Therefore, it's outside Parliament. On the 26th, we plan to have an oversight visit to Limpopo province. I think it will be places like Mapungubwe and places around there. And then on the 26th, oversight visit to Northwest. And then the focus will once again be on heritage and cultural tourism. The available support to SMMEs, nature of support to less developed entrepreneurs, future plans, PE beneficiaries. You see here, you find that there are national plans. There is a national budget, but some of the funds go to the to provinces. And then we all of a sudden do not know what happened to the funds. Sometimes they get diverted to for other purposes and so forth. So let us do our research, and then when we go to these areas, know exactly how much funding has gone there and for what purpose. So in some instances, it's part of the MIGs. Some instances, direct conditional grants, sometimes it's just grants as well. And I know that Sunny Pass was supposed to have a road for about the last 10 years now. Budget after budget, the KwaZulu-Natal government did not build the Sunny Pass road. I do not know whether they have started now building. I know this because I was in the Joint Budget Committee. When we tracked the funds, we found that KwaZulu-Natal did not upgrade the Sunny Pass Road. We do not know now whether, well, because I'm no longer in the Joint Budget Committee, I do not have regular feedback, so I do not know how far it is. So there are some instances, not only in KwaZulu-Natal, but also in other provinces. If you go to the Eastern Cape, you'll find that roads have been paid for, but they are not upgraded. Mm. The same thing to in other provinces as well. But now we do not have enough time to check on the ENE and the budget documents, because now that's where you find the information, where they say they're building a school here and here and here. That information, if we can get hold of that information, let us get hold of that information from possibly from research. It comes with documents which come on budget day, but now perhaps we can track it through for a number of years, just tourism. And then before last year, it would be environment and tourism or something. What was the department called?
Environment and tourism.
Environment.
Same across,
yeah. And then perhaps also DTI should have been sending funds to these people for tourism. And then when we engage, because we are going to go to the department, when we engage them, we ask specific questions rather than comment unnecessarily. Just firstly those things, and then you can make other comments after that. Then Tuesday, 10th August, briefing by the Department of Arts and Culture. This is the meeting that was planned to be happening today. Then on the 17th of August is TEP, Tourism Enterprise Promotion and Tourism Business Council of South Africa. This one is a state enterprise. The Tourism Business Council is an association of private enterprises in the tourism and industry. The intention will be to brief the committee on the enterprise partnerships in respect of job creation and sustainable livelihoods. There is a lot of good research happening around Tourism Business Council of South Africa. They have a lot of figures and a lot of information with regards to what is happening in tourism. Then we plan to have a study tour as from the 24th of August to the 29th of August to Kenya, Mozambique and Zimbabwe. Kenya because we have a memorandum of understanding. Zimbabwe and Mozambique because we are having common areas, common objectives in some areas, and we share some of the of the attractions together with these. So our focus will be heritage and cultural tourism, job creation through SMMEs, and available support to support entrepreneurs and people less developed. So we have to find out how they support these communities, the communities that are rural, that are most needy in their countries. Then Tuesday, the 31st of August, we'll have a briefing by Southern Africa Tourism Services Association and the Department of Labor. The intention will be to establish interactive relations and to brief the committee on their activities in respect of job creation and sustainable livelihoods. Then the 7th of September is the Department of Trade and Industry on Tourism Assistance Program. According to the secretary of the committee, of an equivalent committee at in the NCOP, there are some funds that were unspent last year, belonging here, and they know it because they are in the same cluster, tourism and trade and industry are in the same cluster. Then on the 14th September, briefing by the National Department of Tourism on Global Competitive Project to update the committee on the progress of this project. On the 21st of September, briefing by the National Department of Tourism on Tourism Satellite Account. That is a compilation of tourism data and statistics to update the committee on work progress. That is what we are proposing before the committee for its consideration, and then after that, and after its input, then perhaps approval. Thank you.
Tuesday, the 10th of August, the briefing by the Department of Arts and Culture. I'm just wondering if we cannot rather have the Department of Arts and Culture participate in the seminar on Tuesday, the 20th July, so that whatever input they would have made on the 10th of August, they make it on the 20th of July, and therefore it can be discussed in conjunction with other input that would have been made there. I'm saying this because, in my opinion, it would enrich the seminar if, for instance, the Department of Arts and Culture could make its input such that we are able to use it then. For instance, it would have been much better if they had come today, because then we would have gone to the seminar armed with whatever information they would have given us today. But since they're not able to come to them, I'm suggesting that we give them an opportunity to be part. I'm suggesting that they be part of that seminar. That's one suggestion. Then on the study tour to Kenya, Mozambique, and Zimbabwe, I don't have a problem except that. Personally, I would have preferred that we visit the other provinces as well, so that we are very well informed about our own situation here in South Africa. So far, we've got Limpopo, the Northern Cape, and the Northwest. Well, why don't we cover the whole country so that we have a complete picture of what is happening in the country with regards to heritage and cultural tourism? Because I think the other provinces too that have, we are not yet able to include do play a role on this area, and probably could also learn a lot from them and get to know how far developed this heritage and cultural tourism is in the various provinces in South Africa. And then we could keep this item, let's say for next year, for instance, the international visit, we keep that for next year, when we already know our own situation, right? So, but then another question on that also, what has been the criteria for, I know you talked about the memorandum of understanding and Zimbabwe, the commonness, but the question I would have is, do they really support their SMMEs? Have we found out? In other words, I'm saying, if we go to Kenya, Mozambique or Zimbabwe, in my opinion, I would say we are going there because we know that they are successful in this area, and therefore we have got this and that to learn from them. So I think if we could find out first, you know, whether really they are successful or whether they are also struggling like we are struggling, and therefore what do we learn from them if we go to that country?
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to suggest that for the meeting on the 20th of July, part of that program, we should include this organization that I wrote about in my letter to you, the Fair Trade in Tourism group. They have a lot of experience in developing and helping support tourism enterprise, community-based tourism enterprises in the rural areas. And I feel that what information they could give us there would give this committee tremendous foundation, good grounding, background information for our trips to the provinces. Because obviously the provinces, you know, that is very much rural tourism development. And these people have experience on what the issues, what the problems are of developing sustainable tourism enterprises in the rural areas. So I do feel that, you know, having fair trade included in our seminar on the 20th of July would be most valuable.
I think no one is against that, and we are in support, because also we also should be having much more experience for us to be in a position to do better oversight. It will enrich our approach. I don't have a problem with that, and I do not think anyone has a problem with that.
Thank you, Chair. You mentioned a very, very important point when we say we must get what has been approved by the budget when we move out for oversight. Because when we go out without knowing what has been approved, what the other level of the government should do, our oversight seems not to be effective, because we're just moving like people are just walking around. And that thing make the people not to make the report for the constituencies, just because they made those reports and submit them there, but you don't see any action taken by the minister or by that department, which is supposed to do. I think it's very, very important to share that point, that if we can get, before going out to do the oversight, we must get what has been approved to those areas by the different departments, so that when we query it outside there, that we have something approved. As you mentioned about the road, cannot expect the tourism to develop in the rural areas without good conditions of the road as it is. But if we know that the budget for this road has been approved, we can do something which can assist. And there's another thing that was mentioned some time back. I think Mama Njobe was the chairperson for that ad hoc committee, although it belongs to the arts and culture. You know, we had a ad hoc committee for the statue of Madiba in this parliament some time back. And I think it's very, very important to have that statue, because as it is, if you can just make fair vote to rise again, you will find that everything has been the same in Cape Town, no change at all. We end up debating that which good spot for that Madiba statue. Is it in Parliament? Some they mentioned the Strand Street. But I hope we agree, Mama Njobe, that the Parliament is the center for the whole country, where the representatives are coming from all nine provinces and come here. But up to now, nothing has been done. What happened to that budget? Maybe if there was a budget, what happened to the intention that a station should be built and put there? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think, but I do not know. My recollection is as if the there was the issue of whether it should be done when Madiba is alive, or perhaps we should wait and then have a statue after when he is gone. I think that was the line. At some stage there was such debate, but I think there are some people that are here that can either confirm that or say no, it's not exact. Mamu Chiva said then Mulle.
I'm just adding to what the Honorable Prenzul is saying. As long as we're debating about the erection of this statue, and I believe we were even told that there will be a committee, even though he highlighted that she was in the ad hoc committee. It appears, I keep on talking to Durov, that thing is not happening. The debate was that it be outside or inside. We said we want it to be erected. During that celebration at this year, what was it? I saw his statue somewhere there. And I was what?
At that prison?
Yes. I saw the statue there. So why are they taking the statue somewhere there where the people sometimes don't even go there? Except the prisoners who know that it is there. But what about the world? Because, I mean, he's a man of nature, really. He's a very important man in our country. So we're seeing also statues down there. Even that, this one, we can also remove it. The bottom one, not that I'm arguing that it's not supposed to be there, but the present Mandela, the old man. And we've either put it there or inside the parliament. There are such debates where somehow, you know, we'll die without not seeing him in parliament. We want to see him.
Thank you, Chair. I'm in support of coming with a report from the challenges from our provinces on the issues that was budgeted, more especially by the tourism department, so that these 10 days that we are having, it can spread to other provinces that we don't have in our program. When we have serious challenges, maybe in the other province that is not here, we can take it and look at the challenges and then utilize it as the important part of the provinces that we have. Because there are lots of challenges. If you can remember, I've asked the DG of Tourism on some project in Moritele, which is the Heritage Park and Moritele River Park, that was budgeted by the Department of Tourism, Environment and Tourism, though they are not yet finished, they are not yet started. So those are the issues that make me to support the issue that when we come from our recess, we should bring the report from our provinces so that we can make a proper oversight. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. I just wanted to confirm that when we go to the Limpopo Northwest and Northern Province, Northern Cape, whether the intention is for us to meet with the MECs of tourism in those provinces and their tourism organisations there as well. I mean, will we be meeting the provincial head of tourism in those provinces and sort of finding out from them what they're actually doing and what their issues and challenges are? Or are we just going to go and visit tourist sites?
I think the intention would be to visit tourist sites, but we can have an hour or less having that type of reception or so, because sometimes it appears rude just to go on your own, you know. I mean, just a courtesy visit, and then we go.
Chairperson, I think on the question of the statue, the former president, Nelson Mandela statue, personally I would suggest that we mandate the chairperson to find out what the position is, what the exact position is from the relevant authorities. And then secondly, I had thought that the members would comment on my suggestion about the international tolls, whether we take them now or we take them later. And the question of the other provinces, visiting other provinces, whether we visit them now, that is this year, or we'll probably put them for another time. But I didn't hear anything.
I'm new to Parliament, so I don't know the sort of habits. But we were sort of told, I think, earlier that there are unlikely to be any visits next year because of the local government elections. So therefore, one would assume that we need to do a section of travelling now. I also think that doing all 9 provinces in one hit will be quite exhausting. And I think that we'll be overwhelmed. But I think it's a good idea to perhaps split them.
Yeah, if we really wanted to do 9, then we'll have to split into 2. Others go elsewhere, the others go elsewhere, but we have criteria or a list of items to particularly to look at. Things like infrastructure, things like support, things like support to SMMEs, things like support to the general industry, because sometimes you may just concentrate on SMMEs, forget about the bigger guys, and then you find out that in some instances SMMEs depend on the bigger guys. They follow the bigger guys. So it's these things that you've got to, you, I mean, we'll have to compile a list of what exactly we are about when we go there. Without limiting ourselves to those, but the fundamentals should be there when we visit there. And the issue of provinces, like the failure of tourism in the province of the Eastern Cape, for instance, I think is two-way. It's support, lack of adequate support, and infrastructure, if you go, yeah. And then KwaZulu-Natal, the roads are not the best, but at least they are drivable summer and winter. But I don't know, has anyone gone to Sunny Pass recently? I do not know now. I do not know about the roads, but there are also other sites, like in the rural, where you, in Ulundi, for instance, in Gwalongoma, for instance, there are very, very treasured sites there, even the palaces that have been rebuilt, like I think Pretorius has been rebuilt, Tingaz has been rebuilt, I don't know what else. But you find that the emphasis from the province is around Durban. It's around the heritage they do not care much about. And then the Midlands promote themselves. It's private enterprise promotion. There are a lot of businesses where we can also learn a lot if we go there with somebody with gold, somebody art, somebody with that and that and that. So it's a number of experiences from which we can learn. But if we visit these places after the seminar, I think we'll be in a position to propose. But I think I'm not against us breaking into two, provided the budget allows. And some people go to other areas, some people go to other areas. And even if it meant that we change provinces, people from one province, you do not go to your own province, you go to other people's provinces, and then you share experiences. The other ones go to other provinces, learn something, and then as an MP, then you interact with your province when you come back, friend, and then relate the experiences that you saw elsewhere. Because surely there will be good experiences even in the weakest tourism province, and you find that there are good these things, lessons that you learn there, either as a result of a positive contribution or an omission. So learning is just learning. But I do agree with Mama Njobe that we've got to visit all provinces. But I do not know budget allowing. I think we'll have to break. It will just be too much. I've traveled. If you travel from hotel, you go from hotel, you sleep one night, you pack your bags, and then you go to another hotel, sleep one night, you pack your bags to another hotel, you sleep one night, you pack your bags, you get into... It's very tiring. It's exhausting. So you can take it for three nights or four nights at most. But if it is going to be for nine days or 8 days, it's going to be too much. I don't know. I mean, let us agree on something. And then on the tour of Zimbabwe and Mozambique. The minister has been in Zimbabwe. We And we with Kenya there are a lot of lessons that we can find there. With Zimbabwe, I know of the fawns mainly and the big game reserves, and the Kruger National Park as well. It's part now of this big this thing, game reserve. But more than that, I don't know what is there.
Because it is this great Zimbabwe, you know, the actual ruins, on the east side of Zimbabwe, you know, what used to be called the Zimbabwe ruins.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great heritage site to visit. So apart from you said, do we have good game reserves? They also have mountains, beautiful mountains, you know, but yeah, it would be the game reserves and Victoria Falls and Great Zimbabwe. But you know, it's very short because I mean, you look at we're actually going to be there traveling, I suppose, for about 4 days, I think you'd only really be able to do Kenya just in 4 days, and 4 days in each place. But obviously, there's a lot to see, and Mozambique is such a big country. Okay, look, it's basically all around Maputo, I presume. This trip, but they've got up north near Barra and all that sort of stuff. They've got good game reserves and. But anyway, it's very short, and yeah, we need to do what we can at that time.
Chairperson, sorry, do we have to be confined to the dates stipulated here?
The dates stipulated here are informed by the parliamentary program.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a sense, yes.
Because I was mentioning it, because I was trying to link it to what the previous speaker said, because there is so much to see, like in Mozambique, for instance. It's a huge country, and also in Zimbabwe, there are quite a number of areas, and they are sort of far from one another. And if you would need sometimes to use road transport, and we are not very sure of the state of the roads there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Not now. Before, they used to be very good.
Yeah, in fact, also, I mean, we can't gamble with your life.
Mm-mm.
Where we think that roads are not proper or safety or malaria control or other diseases, let us rather play away. But Zim is just malaria only, which we have in parts of our country as well. Kenya, it's malaria, but later in the year, it's not the malaria season. They have rains in our winter, so most probably they won't. There is no threat of malaria. There is no yellow fever. For instance, we cannot say now we've got to go. You see, another place that is of interest heritage wise is Mali, with the ancient university. Timbuktu, those documents that are there, the temples that are built of mud, multi-story buildings and so forth, that have been there for centuries. That could be interesting as well. But I mean, these are the experiences. But the question then becomes: is that experience immediately usable in South Africa? And then there you've got to reflect.
Nigeria is very rich culturally.
Actually, Chairperson, the whole of Africa, I mean, the greater part of Africa is an interesting, would be an interesting place to go. They would be interesting places to see. But the thing is, we've got constraints. We can't go all over the place. And those are areas like which are relevant to the struggle in South Africa. They are areas which are relevant in terms of heritage. You know, like where did the people come from in the first place? And so on, and it makes one think of a number of reasons why we would want to go to those countries, but we have got constraints, we've got limitations, we can't do it all in one term, I suppose.
I think
in our strategic plan, because it's a 4-year plan now, it can't be a 5-year plan.
Then we can say this year we are going to go this place and this and the other place for this purpose. Because it has got to be informed by the aims and the priorities of the department. And then coming from there, then we decide where we want what, where should we get what in our recipe. So that is essentially what is going to inform us. But thank you very much for alerting us also on the local government elections, because that was also one of the considerations. There are places like also like India, Brazil, Malaysia that are culturally rich as well. But we will have to look at those sometime next year, later next year after the elections. When are the elections? April, May. Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, and then I should be asking the IEC. Yeah, but I think they are projected for around May. Then perhaps later next year we can look at another country. And this thing of saying that there are no funds when tourism is prioritized and the role of tourism in the contribution to economic growth is increasing, I think has to be challenged. They can't say to us there are no funds to that extent. They shouldn't say to us that there are no funds to that extent. But also we've got to finalize on the provinces. If the funds allow, I think we've got to go to all the provinces at the same time. Mm. And then that means that we'll just have to break into two and then go there. How possible is that, Secretary? That is logistical now.
I was thinking, sir, what we can run us through, because this planning now is for only for July up to September. I was thinking whether I can't go through these three provinces identified, then in the following 10, in other words, after the constituency, after September. Then we can take another trip of then maybe every next year then we take the final. So that's what we keep the committee together and in all the provinces. I think that is one option. Or we can do also what you are suggesting, where we break the committee into two, then the others will take the inland, and then the others can take the coast. I think we have those two options that we may get to look at.
Yeah, and then what happens to committee support?
Well, we will ask the committee section to provide additional capacity so that if we break the committee, then others would support the other coordinator. And we would also ask members as well to assist in terms of identifying some of the projects in their provinces that we can So that when we say we'll go there, this will put an idea of where exactly do we want to go. Because if we will depend in the provincial department, they will always take us to the back and then leave out to those that are not here. I don't know why.
My concrete proposal will be it is good if we go as a family. You see, this thing of dividing ourselves is not going to assist us at all. We can offer that one that we have talked about. Maybe we check our terms of progress. Maybe this term we take 3, then we look for another term of between September and before it closes. In December we take another 3, and in January to March we take another 3. So we must work as a team so that our information or our research should be, or our information should be unique and have the same understanding of what housing is all about, rather than to split ourselves. I don't think it's going to assist us at all, that one of two, dividing ourselves as if we are working differently.
I want to support that person and say, for me, the idea is not so much to have to have, you know, the information, but it is to have this information so that we can use it, you know, in our committees to boost up our work. If we all have an idea of what is going on, then it will make our contribution towards our work more effective. And I think if we are all informed about the situation, we've been talking a lot about, you know, the rural tourism, you know, domestic tourism and all those things. So I think now the visits will enable us to actually know what is going on the ground. And if we all have that information, will be at par in terms of capacitation. Thank you very much.
The issue on the Department of Arts and Culture was the proposal that we scrap the that engagement and have them in the seminar. That was the proposal. That was one of the proposals.
Mm-hmm.
So we the seminar is going to be for 2 days. I think there'll be enough time for them to make an input. But in a seminar, there is a committee that is doing oversight on them. We can ask questions even in the seminar. As long as we are not going to have a lot of participants that are going to crowd out our time for asking questions.
Chairperson, just clarity. I thought that maybe the proposal was that our visit should take place, the oversight in the provinces should take place before the 24th, 29th outside engagement study tour. I'm just trying to find my bearings. I don't know whether the visit to the provinces was going to be taken before these trips or not. I mean, before the tour.
It is going to be before that.
so that by the time we go to these outside places, we are informed about our own situation.
Yes, we are informed about our own less developed areas of tourism.
Thanks, Dr. Pepe, because that's a clarity point.
Okay, because really also we want to prioritize the less advantaged provinces somehow, because if we go to them, at least the profile of tourism is going to be to be higher on their agenda as well. Good morning. Right. So we are agreed. Are you, Mami Dobe, satisfied about our criteria now, or do you still want Nigeria? we shall see about other countries later. But let us do about three and then come back as well. Then let us then look at our agenda, item number 2. Consideration of committee reports. There was this on the ports of entry, where we visited a number of areas earlier in the year. That report has been with us for quite some time. We were together with the with Home Affairs and it was Home Affairs and Tourism. Do you have any problem about the substance in the report?
I'm sure this report has been with us for a long time, and my move is simple as we move for that report.
I propose adoption committee.
Okay, adoption of the committee on the port of entry.
But just to say generally, we have to try and make follow-up where it is necessary. We must not just end up in the file, but if there are follow-up that we need to make after the fever has gone, we should do so.
Then we had a visit to a report of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism, Sport and Mega Events Summit that was organized by the United Nations World Tourism Organization. This report is for about 25 pages. We attended a colloquium run by the University of Johannesburg, and then we attended also, there were also papers from different countries on mega events. So this is the report, and I do not know whether anything is outstanding. Please add it if something is outstanding. We wanted all members to attend this mega event, but we also limited to a few. We learned a lot in this conference and this summit. But well, we could not have all the members because the chairpersons decided otherwise.
Chairperson, you have just said a mouthful. I wonder, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just saying, in as much as we do understand as you're explaining, but maybe because I feel we need to be updated, even if you did not have the chance of attending, of going out to, you know, like the ports of entries, some of them one did not visit. Whether is it possible for one to meet the secretary of the portfolio committee just to update just for an update, just a summary of what happened when the five was out, just to be updated as a member. I'm just asking whether is that possible. Thank you.
Okay, over and above this report, you wanted to say something like a one pager or two pager on the summit. We are having this report.
Not exactly that.
Yes.
I'm just saying in general.
In general.
Yes, when the portfolio committee went on oversight,
okay,
then some of us did not.
Okay.
Is it possible for us, or for me,
yes,
to meet the portfolio committee secretary, just for him, just to update me, just the summary of the oversight?
Oversight.
I was just saying, asking from the chair, whether is it that possible? Because it's a matter of me making an appointment with the secretary.
Okay, surely that is possible.
Okay.
But perhaps we can make an arrangement and have perhaps a two pager about the people, about that were there, what input they gave and so forth. For instance, there was the president. There was the Secretary General of RAFAI, of the United Nations World Trade Organization. And then there was the Minister, and then we attended the event on which was run by academics talking about the impact of mega events on tourism. And then mega events like the World Cup, which is one big mega event, the biggest mega event. So they were looking at social impacts, economic impacts, the academics, the infrastructure, how it contributes. For instance, countries, there was a professor, now I've forgotten his name, who says that some countries bid for mega events in order to develop their infrastructure, so that say like cities bid for mega events so that the national expenditure goes to that city for roads and other infrastructure to win attention, more attention from the national fiscus and so forth. And then the impact on environment, safety and security, the management aspect, it was a number of things that were discussed. And then we had the Germans from their experience telling us that they had more than 20,000 small enterprises, businesses that are still viable now. They were much more friendly after the event because they were perceived as very, very, you know how Germans are perceived. Mr. Krumbach.
You're not German. And then no. It's not that. What I'm saying is that they were saying that they were perceived as this stiff people, accurate, demanding, and so forth. And yeah, and then they had without any humor. But the World Cup, during the World Cup, they had a motto, let us be friendly or something. What was the motto? A time to make friends. And they made friends. And then the Togolese team went to one of the towns, now I've forgotten the name. And even up to now, they have relationships, they are communicating. There are bilateral ties. They know each other. They talked to the bus drivers as well to be friendly, to talk to people. It's those things. But we'll collect some of the information. If you want more information on specific aspects, I think we have the German experience. It's not far from the presentation that was made by the German ambassador. You remember when we had the German ambassador? The problems, their tensions were, most of their tensions were solved. The political tensions, the East against the West, the political problem. And they came nearer, and then they were proud to be Germans once more. They were afraid to raise their flag as Germans after the World War, the humiliation of the Second World War. But once as a nation, then they were proud to be what they are. So those were the things, and then their player, Beckenbauer, was an ambassador, as we have made Lucas our ambassador, but in tourism, he's their ambassador, he was an ambassador in sport. So it's those experiences, they are very, very exciting. Very, very exciting. So, it's a pity that these things cannot be written on two pages. We can just tell you that there were major impacts socially, major impacts economically. But when you read the report, you'll find it very interesting. Very, very interesting, yeah. So, there were 7 points, conclusions. 7 of them. They were listed. Now I don't remember a single one. Perhaps, Pungi, you can supply the 7 just conclusions. You remember those that you issued to for me? No, you can't remember them. No, in fact, there was a list. I think it should be in one of my files. The 7 conclusions. Petrol drone. Perhaps we can get them now on the internet at the time. So it was very, very interesting. And then, in fact, all members were supposed to be there. I think let us look at the report, but I think it's better to you see, if you read the last 3 pages. This when we discussed about how cities can maximize positive benefits, pick the right events, be bold and imaginative, give the right leadership. I think that is the typo. Bid well and ingenuity, have a plan B. Accelerate priorities and so forth. And then the conclusions.
the capacity, a question of capacity building and rural development and the legacy, the fruitfulness of the legacy, and yeah. Yeah, those. If you read some of the last pages, then you get the gist of that. There was a Namibian this thing lady. It was Jean who was talking about the Golden Rush, getting the dust out of the Golden Rush. Do you remember that colorful lady from Namibia? Who was saying that they were going to be deprived of their traditional tourism because tourists are going to come to South Africa instead of visiting their traditional destination, which is Namibia, because of this World Cup. And but the way she put it, it's very good. But that lady is a business lady in the industry. She chairs the equivalent of Tourism Business South Council of South Africa in Namibia. That it was quite exciting.
Thank you, Chair. As we are coming closer to this FIFA World Cup, I am worried that our media and most of our people, we are more emphasizing what is bad. We are no longer popularizing what is good. Now, as the honorable member mentioned that when we attended that conference, it was mentioned that it's a time to make a friend. As it is now, if any person wanted to go and put up in my house, I can say, no, I can't accept you because you are not sure whether he's a good person or not. But it is not our culture to stop a visitor when he wanted to put up in your house. You know, early in 92, I was visited by a certain professor from University of Calcutta who stayed in my house the whole month, and we enjoy a lot with that professor. And 2 years ago, I was visited by a former minister of education from Yemen, and put up in my house. He was the father of Dr. Uta at the University of Western Cape. Dr. Uta was working with my wife. So her father wanted to experience what is this they call the rural, because they don't know anything about this. But he was there with me. He enjoyed. And I was also happy to be with him at my place. But what worries me now, so you must be very, very careful about the people from outside. Instead of taking this a time to make a friend. To allow a person to visit you today, you say, oh, you must get something, buy something and come with it so that you can have something to eat.
Bring and share.
Yeah, bring and share, yeah, okay, good term. But it was not like that. When I was still a young boy, my mother used to say, to dish up for all of us, but they leave something for unexpected visitor, because people were used to walk, not to drive, as it is happening today. If our approach was just like that, I think this event was going to be 100% good, especially on tourism in the rural. Because as it is now, it's going to, we're going to confine these people in urban areas only, not in the rural, because there is nothing happening outside there. But there are times when some of them, they would like to move out and come back, but they might not be accepted outside. Thank you. There are some things that even media cannot stop. And the excitement is already there now. Who imagine that people from who are supporting Turkish, who are supporting for the Bulls, would go to South or to Soweto? When about 6 months ago, they would hit you because they are black. You are black in the streets. When after the match, you had to run away. So it's a change. Some of these things just happen on their own. I think from our side, let us just talk of the positive. There is the issue of terrorism. Perhaps it makes us more alert on the other side. Let us look at the positive side rather than be depressed by some journalists. And then go on with our lives. I think we are going to be better off. But if we get depressed by bad news, we also run the danger of not looking at the positives. I remember in the press conference today, the guy in the SABC, one of the presenters said, let us concentrate on the ones that are there, that are going to be playing. Let us not concentrate on the ones that have been excluded. He was keeping on urging journalists, let us forget about the ones that have been not been. So it depends also on your press strategy as a country, the PR of the country. And I'm afraid that we are not doing as much PR as the capacity in South Africa allows us. Yes, well.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm adding to what Honorable Prince Lee said. What we must have in mind is that media, the private company, they're making out money out of ignorance. Those people who are ignorant, they know that they believe everything what they say. While we're still learning Afrikaans in school, they used to say that idiom, hey, leak so sakurant. That legs of not the grant like me near me. We don't know really, because they're taking advantage of those people who are ignorant. Because they believe what, listening to the news, you don't have to go to school. You listen and take whatever. But because those people are ignorant, they are taking advantage. They are making money out of their ignorance. So we need not to worry, but the problem is that the ignorant people believe whatever they come up with and say, oh, it's true, maybe, because it's all over. So it's us who knows what is happening that are making money out of those tendencies. So sometimes we have to ignore such things, but the problem is the majority of our people who just take everything. Thank you.
Yeah, let us go to the report and see whether we adopt it now or not, eh?
Thanks, Joe. I was wondering what item on the agenda we were on. Just for 30 seconds, I really don't believe we should get too depressed about some of the negative things in the media. It was inevitable that would happen. There are agendas there. is not just about the event, but other more long-term political agendas. But, you know, at the end of the day, there are 45 million people in this country, and it's actually those 45 million people that are important, and not the few people who write negative articles in the media which depress us unnecessarily. Because at the end of the day, we must, as my colleague Tamaratam has always reminded us, see beyond 2010. And what we should be looking at 2010, the way in which we should be looking at 2010 is simply that, can we make sure that our country comes out of this event with such a positive review from the rest of the world, with such an enhanced brand image, that we can actually encourage another million tourists to come here every year? That should be the be-all, the end-all for all of us as South Africans, and most particularly us in this room, because we are charged with the mandate of making sure that tourism goes as well as it can in our country. So I would think that all of us, in one way or another, need to say to our people out there, we all take ownership of the entire population of this country, and say, make sure these people that come out here feel welcome. Don't rip them off, whatever, you know, whether it's what you charge in a restaurant or what you charge for a taxi fare. Make sure they have the best possible experience, so that the 34 billion people watching on television and radio only hear positive things about our country. And we're doing our nation a huge favor if we do that. We can actually create jobs, 125,000, I believe, out of this tournament, pay for the stadiums within 4 years from the increased tourism revenue, and then we've done the next generation and the future of our country a massive amount of good. And that's really all it's about. So that, let's not get depressed about the negative reports and whether the tourists are going to the rural areas or not. That will all come as long as we just get through to the 11th of July successfully. And then, in the next years to come, we'll get the benefit.
Chairperson, I was just merely adding to what the Prince was saying. In fact, as you go about, you'll be meeting people, and you'll befriend them. I mean, naturally, one can say, can I join you? You can invite them for no gain. Nishuguti, imvelo, nature will prevail.
Okay.
Nature will prevail.
Nature, yes. See, thank you very much. Let us then perhaps after the exciting round, go back to the report, and then adopt the mega report provisionally then. I think people who can assist would be myself, Krumberg, and then perhaps let us provisionally adopt this one, and then later look at the hearings that we had on the 18th to 19th May, which also discusses about our state of readiness.
And I propose adoption.
Okay, so seconded. Okay, thank you. Adopted. But please just go through slowly some of these things. It's very exciting. And the report of, there was the report on the ports of entry. Where we went to Messina, we went to Johannesburg, we went to the Lesotho border and so forth.
We did.
Okay.
We left with Cape Town.
Okay. Yeah, report. Draft report on Cape Town International. Yes. That one is a short report, not as lengthy as the other one.
Those who attended to the doctor.
Okay. Yeah, it has been tabled long ago. I think you should have read it, and because we have dealt with the cleanliness of the city, the fuel, the signage, immigration, that type of thing. When we went to Cape Town, you remember. So now let us. I don't think it's problematic to adopt it. Given that we are not, we did not have major concerns around Cape Town. So let us just somewhat adopt. Comrade Korai.
Now move for adopting Chapel.
Okay. Job, second. Thank you very much. Honorable Job. Then we go to the consideration of draft minutes, the 13th, the 20th of April, and then the 11th of May.
Page 2, 13th April.
13th April, yes.
Page 2, written by Theta.
Theta, yes.
Correction.
Oh, you're making a correction.
Yes.
Okay, so. Okay. Mind your way.
Yeah, Theta. I would suggest that, you know, in order to move, we just take them page by page. If people have got comments, they make them. So that at the end, we just adopt the minutes. I want to make a comment on page 3.
Page 3?
Yeah.
Minutes of the 13th of April.
20th April, isn't it?
No, the first one will be the 13th.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. No, mine is 20th.
1-3. Are you having your copies here?
Yes.
Okay.
April 2nd, approved. Check it out.
There is a proposal that we approve
before
the minute with that amendment.
Before approval. No,
okay, let me talk first and finish, and then come. Let us that amendment. Has it been recorded? That theta. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Then, Honorable Korai.
Now, Senegal, before approval, is it your way of writing them in and saying, Mr. Wanga is said so and so, Mr. Vuvu said so and so, Mr. Vuvu said so and so? I just want to question the committee, is it how we should run our meeting, because I don't think it will reflect the work of this committee if we are going to read to adopt our minutes in that fashion.
Okay, what is your proposal?
My proposal would be it should reflect the spirit of the meeting or of the committee, not the individuals proposing and somebody, unless you propose a second. But if you question or you make a comment, to put it there, Mr. Hoa, make it this particular comment, I don't think it will sound nice if people outside can read this particular minute. Mine will say, don't put the names. As a question of make any question or any comment, there's no need to say, honorable Hoa, make this particular comment. But talk about the comment as it is.
Yeah, Chairperson. It looks like my taking seems to be the same as that young person. It's encouraging because it means that maybe the ABS perhaps, you know. Chairperson, I think I agree with that. I think we need to change the format. But let me first say I admire the Secretary for the details that he's able to pick up. I think we must say that.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that the reports themselves, I mean the minutes, they are quite well written. I have seen minutes in this parliament sometimes where we just find that it's very difficult even to follow what we have said. But maybe we need to change the format and say, questions that were asked by the committee, without saying who asked the question,
mm-hmm.
but the main question that were raised by the committee, we have a list of that, and then we have a response to those questions. I think it's important to have the response. I think I like that part of it, to have the responses to the questions, because we can then use our minutes in future sometime for reference, you know, to be able to track our work. So I think I agree with the comments on that, with the member on that. And I was also going to say, you see, maybe I should just make the remark that I was going to make on the 30th April, because it also appears here. You see, there are some questions that are very important that were asked by the members, but then you find that there is no response to that question. It does say, so-and-so asked this question, and then when you look at the response to that question, it is not there. So I think that if we list the questions and then we list the responses, we'll be able to have a good picture of what actually happened.
There's two schools of thought on this. One is that you actually do mention who said what and who responded, and the other, as the Honourable Member pointed out, is that you don't. And in the corporate world, it's fairly evenly divided, which is the more correct way of doing it. So I don't think we're right or wrong, whatever we choose, and it's probably up to us. I would just make one request, that if we make the change, as has been suggested now by two of our members, that we don't record who said what as such, unless it's in the form, as the member mentioned, in terms of proposing and seconding, that we still retain the right of any member who wishes to be minuted as he or her making that point. Because quite often it's important that you wish to be on record and then you don't want to be anonymous. So we could perhaps have a compromise where we don't record the names unless it's specifically asked by that member to record his or her name. And as the member pointed out, if there's a proposal and a second, and then that should probably make everybody happy.
Thank you, Chair. Whilst I support the proposal that initially came from Honorable Farai, I would like to say, I mean, a lot of energy has been put into compiling the minutes. Why don't we adopt the minutes back with a rider that where it is said, Miss Honorable Member so-and-so or Miss so-and-so said this, then we say the committee said this. Unless, of course, like Mr. Kronborg has said, if somebody wishes to be mentioned in that particular, you know, instance, then that be observed. But for the sake of progress, can we adopt the minutes and say that the secretary should actually omit mentioning the names of the members, of the honorable members? Because I wouldn't like him to rewrite the minutes as such.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we agree in the House. It was just highlighting that in future. I think we agree generally. So I will, with those comments, adopt, second the adoption. Thank you.
So I have a purpose because I wanted to emphasize that we are not suggesting that we really listen. No, not at all. But we are saying for the future.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have, I don't know, I can't say different view altogether. We have the PNC with us here. Who move around with the instrument?
And then when you mention the name there, the PMG already has captured the name of that individual. What about that? What's our opinion there?
I think it's for purposes of our minutes. I mean, they can take they can go on with their procedures and then write names and the detail. But I think, agreeing to that, I'll put one provision. In case where there are party differences, then perhaps those differences should be, and if there is a difference along party lines or something like that, then people are free to write what the party, or if the party wants to be on record as saying that, then that party has should be on record as saying that, whether it disagrees or whatever, then it makes it similar. But let me say thank you very much for an accurate reflection of what happens in meetings, Jerry. We are not discouraging you from that, but we are saying that for purposes of protecting members, there are some things that we please. Yes. Thank you. Do we adopt the minutes of the 13th? Oh, they are adopted
already.
Then on the 20th, minutes of the 20th.
What I really noticed, you know, with the format. No, I'm not discussing the format, but now the content. You see, for instance,
point
For purposes of recording.
There's an important question that was asked by the member.
Mike.
As to whether it was advisory for the president to say that advisory comes to issue the rules. If they it appears. But now there's no response. If when you read, you want to see what as to what actually the response was. There was no response. So what do you do with the president? You put your question, the question is there, but you don't have a response to it. It's not the only one. There are other questions I know to see in the first minute. So it's there at the top of page two, starting from page two bottom to the top of page two. If you read that, the the person who is reading this news in future, he wants to know what was the response to this important question. And it's not very emotional response, otherwise it wouldn't be important. In this case, then it means that maybe we ourselves are not vigilant enough to ensure that our questions are answered and ask them, but we don't ensure that they are answered. We have the challenge to ask them.
Okay. Thank you, Ma.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I was saying maybe for us to get whatever answers in future, if maybe we can do this as the things that were not answered. So that in that meeting, that will, the following meeting, we must be able to can have the answers of what, because there is no use of asking questions every day, but we don't come with the answers as the meeting. Maybe as this meeting, we must make sure that we must have some of those answers. If we don't have, it will be falling under, when we come to the meeting, it will be read things that come, matters that arise from the meeting that we are having, so that we must be able to get answers. And then it will reflect on the minutes that we will be having, that the answer, the question that were answered in that meeting, it was is answered in the following meeting. So that's my proposal. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the proposal. Hello, Mrs.
George, just on that, perhaps it might be if in a question session there hasn't been a complete answer. Now, it might be that the person who's being questioned doesn't have that information. Surely, I would think it would probably be easier for the person asking the question than to submit a formal parliamentary question. So that information then came back and then report back on that answer to that parliamentary question. Would that not be a sort of more formal way of giving the speaker an opportunity to research whatever needed to research for that answer, then respond, you know, through the normal parliamentary question channel to the member, and then that member can report back to us?
Agreed. What do we say about the minutes on the overall? Adopt? Honorable Horace?
Yes, move for adoption, sir.
Move for adoption. Any second that? Okay. Is there any different view? Okay, thank you. Then we go to the last report, that is the last set of minutes, that is minutes of the 11th of May 2010. To draw the attention of the committee to page 5, paragraph 219, where it says Mrs. Pamugwanya said that the thinking behind 2010 FIFA World Cup was along white racial lines. I don't think she said that. It was the issue of the urban bias versus the rural bias. But fortunately, the member is here.
Mm-hmm.
Could you kindly confirm otherwise or confirm what is written here?
Oh, thanks for drawing my attention to this. I had not had the opportunity to read through the minutes, but now that you have done so, I think it was not what transpired. Am I in court now? it is almost as exactly as you have said, Chairperson. It's a bias towards urban development rather than rural, focus. In town, there are all kinds of people in town, not necessarily with race connotation.
Okay.
Thanks.
Adoption proposed.
Seconded.
Seconded, bomb. Okay. That is it. We have adopted the minutes of the 30th, 20th, and 11th.
Can I maybe be a nuisance on this? Why is it not possible that we get minutes soon after the hearing or soon after the meeting that we've had, so that we are able to capture exactly what was said and have the minutes adopted whilst it is still fresh in our minds? I don't know what the logistical problems are.
Well, you see, the main problem we have as a committee is we have hearings week after week.
Mm.
And we are adopting this because we did not have a hearing on culture, on the Department of Arts and Culture. Except if we can agree that whenever we are having a hearing, we put aside 15 minutes for minutes. Let us look as to whether we can do that, and or 10 minutes. Perhaps have a deadline of about two weeks before we have minutes, because sometimes we have practical problems. we have a meeting, then the secretariat is not available for a week, or minutes cannot be compiled, and then let us have a deadline of not more than 2 weeks, and then set aside some time in hearings for minutes. I think that would be the best way we could do it. But for about 10 minutes, if we have had minutes for a week, then for even 5 minutes is too long.
I just want to check, are we changing the committee previous decision? Because the previous decision of the committee was, if we've got a meeting today, Tuesday, next Tuesday, the committee meeting must adopt the minutes of the previous meeting. That was the decision. The problem with these recent minutes was that I think in the last meeting when they were tabled, we had a little time because members had to attend something in the old assembly chamber, something like that, and then there was no time to consider the minutes. And then we have to park them. Then thereafter, the entire parliamentary program was changed and we couldn't meet and so on and so on. Now, hence the minutes are coming to the committee at this time. Otherwise, they were supposed to be approved some time ago.
Okay, perhaps let us agree. Do you accept that in future we shall have proper meeting procedure? If you are out of order, I just say you are out of order. And if you are in order, you are in order. Because, I mean, sometimes this flexibility and it, which causes then the some of these problems.
Not sure. May not say the let the status quo remain. It's just a matter of those hiccups that happen. But I think that's the way we must actually operate.
Every week. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, as long as they are ready. But it's advisable for us to have minutes then on a Wednesday. Because on a Thursday evening, or latest Thursday. And then it will make then it possible for us to adopt them on a Tuesday the following week. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, that is it. And thank you very much for the attention and for attending. And I wish you the best World Cup ever, because it may be the only one we see in our lifetime. Mazgalal.
Chairperson, I just want to highlight this one, that it is unfortunate for some of the parties, because we seem to be seen on the ground. And in as much as you would love to be there in time at the end of the meeting, you cannot, and it's so hurting, you know. I'm saying people must not just think, oh, you are taking it easy this side, or oh, you divide yourself into so many, yeah.
No, we do understand. I mean, both of you were having much more work than most of us. And is this ad hoc committee that just pops up all the time? And then if you're having few members in parliament, then it's hell of a time in parliament.
But what I must say, you know, when we are turning the environment, tourism, like today, there was a lot said about our tourism when we just have to pinch ourselves and say, yeah, at least. Thank
you very much.
Chairperson, you said the two, except the two parties, the two sides. Which one?
No.
Oh.
They have a lot of meetings.
down.